Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning as we have come together to worship our God. And we encourage you, if you have your Bibles, if you have the book form, to turn to the book of Nehemiah. And if you have the electronic form, that you click on over to the book of Nehemiah these days. And so that's where the lesson will be taken from this morning as we examine a few things from God's Word to help us. And I want to express our appreciation to those of you visiting with us. You are an encouragement to us, and we are glad that you are here. And if any questions in regards to the lesson, please feel free to ask me afterwards. Be glad to talk with you about these things because they are important. And as you have already seen in connection to our theme this year has been, let us arise and build, taking from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And this is where Nehemiah goes back, goes to Jerusalem to encourage the people to rebuild. And we ask the question, what's involved in building or this building process? And what we have learned in reference to that is acknowledging God. And then it takes the whole body of us all working together in the building process. And then as we talked about in our last session, building a better me. So it starts with me and my relationship to the Lord and realizing my spiritual condition and then seek to change that condition and therefore have the proper attitude so that I will be involved in doing the work of the Lord. And that brings us to another aspect of our study taken from Nehemiah and the thoughts that comes from these verses. You see, when it comes to the building process or the work of the Lord, it's not always going to be easy. It is not without its challenges and struggles. And that's what you see here in the book of Nehemiah as well as the book of Ezra. And then even the prophet Haggai had to come and encourage the people. The first time when they got the decree to come back to build the temple by Darius, the Persian king or Medo-Persian king, they had begun and they built the temple. But then they faced some problems. And as they faced problems, they stopped. And that's why Nehemiah comes to encourage them to arise and build as they said that they would do in reference to the work of God. And then later on, they even stopped after that. And that's when the prophet Haggai comes in and he encourages them to build because of their view of things in reference to the rebuilding of the temple, the walls. It's not as glorious as it was during the days of David and Solomon, and so they want that to return, and they didn't see it that way, and so they had to be encouraged that when God says through the prophet Haggai and also Zechariah, that it's going to be more glorious, and so they had to put their faith in the Lord. So what are some of the struggles and challenges that one might face in the work of the Lord? And I think we learn these lessons from these writers of Ezra and Nehemiah about some of those challenges. And one of the main things that you pick up in reference to this is this concept of, or this challenge of facing discouragement. And so I titled the lesson in reference to all of these things of challenges to build or to building. And the first one, as you would see, is discouragement. When you're reading Ezra and then when you read Nehemiah as well, you see the discouragement, you see the opposition that they face. And this idea of discouragement means to become disheartened. Other phrases would also indicate discouragement. Weakened of will. Faint of heart. And the impact is it leads one to either quitting or stopping or just completely giving up. That's discouragement. And God knew that these things would occur. That's why you have Ezra taking up the mantle. You have Nehemiah taking up the mantle to encourage and to help the people to overcome their discouragement. And there are other passages in the Scriptures that clearly shows this. For example, the passage that Brother David read in reference to Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And remember what the apostle is writing to the Galatian brethren, because they were facing struggles too. There were those who were challenging them and trying to get them to observe the law. And so Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, is encouraging the Galatian brethren, no, you continue to follow the Christ. You do as was preached to you, as he wrote there in chapter 1 of Galatians. And so in verse 9, he says, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. That's another form of discouragement. Grow weary there. Verse 9. Another passage that talks about discouragement, especially in the New Testament, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, where Paul writes to the Thessalonian brethren, and they were having their problems of those who had passed on before, and those who were being ridiculed for their faith. And he says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. So he wrote that to the Thessalonian brethren. That's the idea of they would become discouraged. Don't grow weary. Don't become disheartened. Don't become faint of heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. As you know the background about Hebrews, with the Hebrew Christians struggling, being ridiculed by their countrymen. In verse 3, the writer says, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, and notice, and lose heart. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 3, where Jesus points out about the church there at Ephesus. He talks about all their good works and so forth. And notice what he states there in verse 3 of Revelation 2. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary, discouraged. They continue to press on. And then he later on pointed out the things that they needed to improve in. And return to their first love. So we see that discouragement is a part, or we're going to face those things in building or doing the work of God. And the Christians in the first century had those struggles, and we have these struggles today. The challenges to building is discouragement, to overcome them. What I found, and what is very interesting, is in Ezra and Nehemiah, what you see is the outer aspect of discouragement, causing the discouragement. And we'll talk a little bit more about those things. I believe that in the New Testament, only 1 Peter helps us to understand or look at the internal struggles that you and I have as followers of Christ. As he talks about the outer influences and challenges in living for the Lord. And as he's pointing out to those Christians that suffering is a part of the relationship that we have with God. And there's a reason for that. The reason for it, and we'll mention that in just a few moments. But those books talk about discouragement, and they also give the remedy for them. This morning, what I'm going to be doing is just dealing with the challenges to building, and the next lesson we'll deal with the remedy to overcome these challenges. how do we overcome discouragement? We'll talk about that in the next session. But in reference to let us arise and build, know that there are going to be challenges and struggles. That's just the way it is in this life. And sometimes what we do is we allow ourselves to become discouraged because we forget what God has said. And we allow those outside influences to move in and take up room in our hearts and mind and push out God's word of encouragement. And so we do that to ourselves a lot of times. Because we forget. Go back with me and notice there in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 4. In Ezra chapter 4 and verse 4, Ezra points out what happened to the people. Notice, verse 4. Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building. What had happened? They allowed themselves to become discouraged. They allowed themselves to become frightened. And because of this, they stopped building. Not only that, there was slanderous things said about them. False accusations made. They were bad-mouthed as they were rebuilding. And there was even a decree that came down to stop them from building, as you look later on in the chapter there. And they had stopped building until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. As verse 24 says. So sometimes we allow ourselves by the outward opposition to influence us and cause us to be paralyzed towards the things and the work of the Lord. And that's what you see in these verses here in Ezra. But we need to be reminded that when we look back at the beginning, we will see that this was the way it was because of what sin had done, that entered into our realm because of disobedience. Look at Genesis chapter 3 again. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 19. Now remember, they have disobeyed God by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so notice what God says. Because they had done this, notice sin enters into this relationship. It's going to separate them from God. But notice the problems that it caused here in these passages. In verse 15, or actually in verse 14, the Lord says, "Cursed are you," more in reference to the serpent. And then notice as he goes on in verse 15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." There you have what has gone on, this clash or struggle. There is the good versus evil set up here. There is the light versus darkness. All of those things are part of it. The light versus darkness, right versus wrong, truth versus false. Remember what Satan has said. What God says, "In the day that you eat, you shall surely die." That was the truth of the matter. And the serpent said, "You shall not." See, there's the setup. There's the struggle right there. And you go all the way back here, and you see that being established because that's what sin does. Sin creates this opposition. That's what sin is. It's in opposition to God. And you see with this in regards to the struggle. And then also you see in verse 16, the multiply or greatly multiply childbearing, your pain in childbearing. And then in verse 17, you see man struggling with the environment. So that tells us that as we involve ourselves in the building process, there are going to be challenges and struggles. Now, you can't get away from it. You're either going to be for God and face those struggles and conquer them with the help and power of God, or you're going to cave in and follow the losing side. We all love a win. How many of us were cheering when the Bengals won? Yeah. And this is this thing that has set up this opposition, this battle that has taken place, and you see it back here in Genesis chapter 3. In fact, remember, this idea of discouragement is not only in reference to the children of Israel, and yes, they had their problems, but you even see it among those who were, we read about in scriptures, that are great men. And one great example of that is, remember Elijah? The contest with the prophets of Baal? God spoke in a mighty way, showing that he was serving the true and living God as fire comes down from heaven and consumes. And what happens? In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, verse 9, Elijah runs to the cave and he hides himself. And God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel, and have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Those were words of discouragement that Elijah is expressing here in these passages as you continue to read through. But you say, wait a minute, God just spoke in a powerful way. Would not Elijah himself put his trust in God that God could protect him from the threats of Jezebel? See what happens a lot of times? We forget. And Elijah, we're like him. We have the same nature. We allow sometimes those threats to move in and take place in our hearts and minds. And we push out what God has said or what God has done. And we become discouraged. And that's what you see here. Go back to Nehemiah with me, if you will, and notice how the people were discouraged. In verse 17, remember, "Then I said to them, 'You see the bad situation we are in?'" Now notice, they see that. Nehemiah recognizes this. They have stopped building. They were discouraged. They were discouraged to that point. They were frightened. And he says, "That Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." You see the viewpoint? The viewpoint of the people of Judah are frightened and discouraged. And Nehemiah says, "I see the damage. I see the bad situation. So let's get up. Let's get to work." That's what Nehemiah is doing, encouraging those folks. And then he noticed verse 18. "I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. And then they said, 'Let us arise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work." What had happened? They had forgotten God. They had forgotten. They had forgotten that they were serving a wonderful and awesome God who even through the decree of Darius allowed them to come back and build the temple. They've forgotten all of that. And Nehemiah is there to remind them, to encourage them, because they had become discouraged. So those are going to be some challenges that you and I face as building, or in the work of the Lord in building. We're going to have to face discouragement. How do we face that, and how do we overcome it? And we'll talk about that in another lesson. I want to focus on this aspect of discouragement and sometimes allowing ourselves to become discouraged. Because the challenge to building is discouragement, and it's going to be due to the opposition of others. Yeah. Others are going to be opposed to the work of the Lord. Why? Number one, they don't believe in God. They have their own agenda. And if they don't believe in God, they're certainly not going to put the things of God first or the work of the Lord first. No, they're not going to do that. And if they're believing in false gods, that's what they're going to put forth, and they're going to promote those things because that's what they believe in. And so you're going to face opposition. As we look back there in Genesis 3, the enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Those opposition things we face. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. In verse 10, when Sanballat, the Horonite, Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite, officials heard about it. In other words, Nehemiah coming with the letter to encourage the people to build. When they heard about it, it was very displeasing. Very displeasing to them. That someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel. Look at that negative thinking. Look at the opposition. Someone coming in seeking the welfare of the sons of Israel. It is as though you are sick. And one of our brethren come over to visit you and to see your welfare, to see what you may need and to help you take care of that. And I get mad at that. I'm displeased with it. When I try to tell you not to do that, I try to discourage you. What would you say about me? He said, why is Albert in opposition to me looking out for the welfare of my brother or sister in Christ? Why is that? Well, this is the way Sanballat and Tobiah were. That's the way they were. They were displeased at that. Instead of encouraging, no, they're in opposition. Look at verses 19 and 20. In verses 19 and 20, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, heard it. They mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? You see what they're doing? Yeah. The idea, they laughed at it. The idea of mock. They ridiculed it. They made fun of it. And despise them, they disrespect it. They didn't care about those things. That's what these individuals were doing. In chapter 6, in verse 9 of Nehemiah, look over there. Chapter 6 and verse 9. For all of them were trying to frighten us, as Nehemiah points out, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen thy hands. You see the mentality there. The opposition of others. The opposition of others are going to come in and they're going to try to discourage you from doing what is right. They're even going to set traps for you or stumbling blocks. And that's exactly what Peter pointed out there in 1 Peter. And then even when you look at 2 Peter as well, it includes those things of individuals who are in opposition of God, trying to teach other things other than God's Word that causes us to be in this right relationship with Him. They're trying to destroy that relationship. That's exactly what Satan did back in the garden, didn't he? When he said, "You shall not surely die," he was trying to destroy this relationship that man had with God. And they followed his instructions, and they ended up being in opposition to God. And look at the consequences for that. And remember what we pointed out there in Ezra chapter 4 earlier. This was going on in the days of Ezra. It's going on in the days of Nehemiah as well. And sometimes it can be relentless. And so the point being that we're going to face opposition in the work of the Lord. That's the first thing in helping us really to deal with it. To know that it's there. And we should not think it strange when such things happen. Always remember what God says. Because that's where the true blessings are. Here's something else in reference to that. Remember Moses? Exodus chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 7, remember when Moses and Aaron are standing before Pharaoh? At the command of God for them to let God's people go, and you have the magicians of Egypt in opposition to Moses. That's what they were doing. When they would come along and they would do such things, trying to pretend that what is being done by Moses and Aaron, oh, that's nothing. We could do that. What were they doing? They were in opposition to Moses and Aaron, which ultimately they are in opposition to God. Yeah. Opposition by others. Another example of that over in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 11. Is here you have, remember, the apostles are going about preaching the word of God, souls being saved, having their sins washed away, being united with the Christ, having the hope of heaven. And so in Acts chapter 13, this is what Paul was doing when he was talking to the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, teaching him the truth. But there was this magician, Elymas, that was there. And what he was doing, he was discouraging these things. Yeah. Look at verse 6, beginning. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came, or they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And then he's struck with blindness. What does it tell us? Well, it tells us there are going to be opposition by others. There are going to be folks trying to undermine the truth and get you to fall away from hearing the truth and obeying the truth. And the thing is, some of the challenges is not so much as we see the opposition of others, but Jesus made this known to the folks there in Matthew chapter 10. It's going to be of your own household in some instances. Wow. You know, that's really a gut punch there. That's one of those punches that makes you bend over and is it worth it? You know, and you're trying to catch your breath. But we know that it may even come among our own household. But we love the Lord more. And that's really what that's about. So there are challenges to the bill. Let's go back to Nehemiah and notice something else in reference to challenges to building or doing the work of the Lord in building. Notice with me chapter 4 of Nehemiah. In other words, what you're going to see from these passages, sometimes you're going to have to extend yourselves. Yeah, we're going to have to do that. We have to put forth, sometimes it's going to be a struggle. You're going to break out into sweat in some instances. And this is what you're seeing here. Some may have to work harder than others to overcome those challenges and struggles. In chapter 4 of Nehemiah, notice verses 15 through 19. Through 15 through 19, it says, "When our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains over behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other hand holding a weapon." Do you see that? They had to extend themselves doing the work, carrying out those things, and then in the other hand with weapons to protect and to fight off opposition. It's not easy. And so they have to extend themselves. Yes, that's. But again, remember the whole body working together. And that's what you're seeing here. The whole body working. That's why each one of us is important in the building process. I hope that you're seeing that connection being developed here from these things from Nehemiah. In Luke chapter 12, or I have Hebrews 11 here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38, it is there that where the Hebrew writer says, not all of us are going to face some of the harsh things that some of those brethren encountered in the latter part of chapter 11. Some sawn in two, dungeons, wandering in the wilderness. Not all of us are going to face such harshness. But we're going to face those times of discouragement. We're going to face sometimes those times of opposition. And that's what you're seeing in verses 35 and 38 when it lists all of those things. You know, Jacob had his struggles,
He had his struggles when he goes to the lake. But Jacob wasn't sawn in two. And those who were sawn in two, they had, definitely had their challenge. They had to overcome the fear of death or being tortured, as the writer points out there in those passages. So yes, and that becomes very challenging. And that's just the nature of things as we do the work of God. Now, that doesn't mean that every day is going to be like that. Because there are going to be moments when you and I talk to God and remember God. He's going to send the help that we need in a timely manner. When you're on the brink of falling off or falling over, God provides encouragement. But this is to let us know that such challenges and struggles are there. I know there are other passages. I hope that I sparked your thinking of other passages that the Bible teaches. Like I said, by no means is this to be an exhaustive aspect of this, but we will cover some of these things even more so as we go on in dealing with our theme this year. Is very helpful. Luke chapter 12, verses 42-48, is where Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required." And so we use what God has blessed us with, even in the extending of ourselves to the building up of the body of Christ. It is worth it. It is worth it. That's why when Paul wrote to those brethren there in Galatians chapter 6, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." But understand, there are going to be challenges and struggles in the building or in the work of God. There's going to be discouragement. There's going to be the opposition of others. We may have to work harder than others, but it's going to be worth it. And that is the beginning process of helping us to begin to see the results of such things. Again, we're going to talk about these things later. But if you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, help us to realize that as we serve you, that there are going to be challenges and there are going to be struggles. And help us prepare our hearts and minds to deal with those challenges and struggles. And there are going to be times, Lord, when we will face discouragement, and help us to realize and regain our, help us to refocus our attention on you and remember your word. We know, Lord, that there are going to be those who oppose us. And may we do the work to even presenting truth that it may change their hearts to serve you. And we know, Lord, that we may have to extend ourselves in certain situations. You know what they are. And we pray that you give us the strength and to keep our eyes set on our Lord to obtain the hope that is promised through him of being with you throughout eternity. Forgive us, Lord, when we have caved in. We have been discouraged to where it stopped us from doing your will. Help us to regain our courage and move forward in the building process so that you will be pleased, that you will be glorified. We pray these things to your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become part of God's will. And you say, "Well, Albert, you know, you just talked about the challenges and struggles. And I could do that in where I am now.
And that's true, you could. But there's no reward. Only a recompense for what you have done.
And that is eternal separation from God. But if you choose God and you follow Him, glory awaits for us. And what God wants us to do in choosing Him is to know who He is, to know what He has done for us, and to believe in that. That He has provided a means of salvation for us. That we would see the destruction of sin and how sin just ruins things and brings about opposition. Opposition even against God. We want to repent of that. And we want to be on God's side. That's changing our heart and our mind and our attitude towards Him, the servant. To confess Him as Christ. Confess Him as Lord. And as we confess Him as Lord, and then we are to be baptized into Christ, where our sins are washed away, and now we enter the door of salvation. Now we are united with God. We are on His side. And as we follow Him, victory is assured. The fulfillment of our hope is guaranteed. I hope that that is your desire. That you suffer for Him who is able to give you more than what we ask or think. I hope that's your decision this morning. We're here to assist you. And my friend, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that's indicated.